This is With an Ohio Bias, a podcast for real fans with Dia and Jake. Browns versus Bills. Oh, they're finally back in Cleveland. Preseason game number two. Jake, we got a lot to cover. The Browns had a win, still undefeated in the preseason, like LeVar Ball, never lost.
Jake, let's start with the Hard Knocks review, episode one, a little bit featured in episode two as well. But just how do you think the Cleveland Browns came off by the HBO studios?
There's definitely a lot of layers going on. I didn't get a chance to watch the second one yet, but I definitely watched the first one a couple of times. And, you know, the thing that maybe stands out the most to me right now is the tension between the head coach and some of the coaching staff, you know, especially Todd Haley, the running backs coach, questioning why guys are getting days off. And to Hugh's credit, he stood up for himself and he said, because I'm the head coach and you're not. So I did like that, but at the same time, you can just see the frustration building in on the assistant coaches. And I don't know how prevalent that is across the league. I'm sure there's, you know, at times that with every coaching staff, pushback from the coordinators and what they want. But I just feel like, Hugh's not coming off in the greatest light. I think Dorsey is definitely coming off as the boss. Haley is coming off as the mad genius who just is, I don't even know how to describe him yet. He's just kind of grumpy, but, you know, is trying to implement all this new stuff. And I just feel like the play calling removed from Hugh and given to Todd Haley now, you just wonder how much that and how long that's going to last. If this team, you know, goes 1-3 right out of the gate and they fire Hugh Jackson, it's going to be Todd Haley, for better or for worse. And, you know, I talked about this in previous shows. You go 0-16, probably should be fired at that point, especially when you got a brand new GM coming in here and you're not his hire. We're going to be stuck right in the Eric Mangini spot again, you know, where you got a wasted season. Now, I hope I'm wrong about that and they come out of the box and win two of their first four and can stay competitive all year. And maybe Hugh Jackson is the man. But right now, I just don't see that. As far as the coaching staff goes, as far as the players, I think they all came off fairly well, especially Jarvis Landry, who seems to be through this this show becoming the leader of this offense, along with Baker Mayfield. Baker's a very vocal guy, and he's out there as well. And, you know, I just think that overall it's about what you can expect. It's really interesting because it's my team and all, but you know, it's definitely a distraction. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And you got guys playing to cameras. So there's good and bad, but overall I've enjoyed it. And I just hope it doesn't end up being any sort of detriment to the team. And so far I don't sense that.
Yeah, that Haley, and I guess Haley and Williams had a dust up at practice today at the training camp. I mean,
Greg Williams in this, by the way. He's so good. Sunday. Sorry.
But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's definitely combustible. And I think that tension is because of the situation of not having any wins. I think that winning preseason was important. But like you're talking about, Hugh Jackson's not coming off well. I think he seems run down. Now, we saw a lot was that was to deal with the emotion, with the family stuff, the loss of the family members. So that could play into it a little bit more. But just in general, you really don't feel like he's not as hands-on as he wants to be. And I think that might be some of the tension as well there, giving that leeway to Todd Haley, you know, with the offense and things like that. The other thing that comes off to me just watching Hard Knocks as an observation, and you talked about it, Jarvis Landry, I mean, face of the offense. This guy's the face of the franchise, man. This bless him movement is all over Cleveland. I'm going to GV Artwork to get a shirt tomorrow. I mean, everybody's saying bless him. I'm hoping that they do win a game. Josh Gordon needs to be there. This team needs to be whole with all the sum of his parts. If they're going to add some other people, whatever they do, they need to be whole and they need to be focused on winning. And I think that's a big thing that I still feel a lot of focus is gone, but it'll be easier for them to have this home game this week.
It's exciting that your first home game, you're going to see your old friend, lazy ass Corey Coleman, which will be a lot of fun. There'll be a lot of, tension and a lot of hard feelings on his part. And I think that'll be kind of an interesting storyline as we go along. It's also, we're going to build towards Friday with Dez Bryant at Browns camp. They're talking with Jonathan Hankins and working him out. So there could be a couple new faces on this team by then as well. So I'm excited for the first home game and just to see how they can build on the success of the first game. I mean, other than the run game, which, you know, I mean, that's a big concern. I think the offensive line out of that first game was my biggest concern, not the running backs, because there was just nowhere to go for most of the time. I know you got to make the first one miss, but Nick Chubb is not going to go 15 carries for 11 yards in under a yard per average. I mean, you just can't have that. That's not all on the running back. So they got to clean that up, and I imagine they will. And it'll be interesting also to see how Callaway responds after a tough start to his NFL career and then picked it up and showed some brilliance of why he was so highly touted as he was coming out of Florida. So I think there's a lot of stuff to kind of look for. I mean, the taunting stuff, can that, it's another reflection on Hugh Jackson. Can we get this stuff under control? You know, I mean, I know exuberance is one thing, but this is going to be something that the NFL calls really tightly, and we got to get used to. If you make a big play, act like you've been there before. So those are a couple of things I'm interested in watching, on top of just how Baker progresses. I was just so freaking impressed with the way he performed, and it didn't have anything to do with completions or anything like that. Just the way he handles himself, the composure, the it factor, the way he keeps his eyes downfield, keeps his shoulders square, goes through his progressions very quickly. I mean, that second touchdown to Njoku, I think it was Njoku, maybe it was Callaway, whoever it was. It was the fourth.
No, it was Njoku.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Oh, no, the second touchdown, that was Callaway on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's early, and I know it was a second team defense, but if you can't see that this guy's got some talent, then you really don't know much about football at this point in my mind.
Yeah, I never was against, you know, saying this guy. Like, I mean, he definitely had talent. I mean, he looked amazing. His footwork looked amazing in his release, like, you know, saying just release time.
Yes, yeah.
My thing is, he still looks small out there. Now, he doesn't look small as Johnny, but he looked small out there, and that was my only knock. I mean, I can't be
so is Russell Wilson. So is Drew Brees.
I mean, those guys are going into the Hall of Fame. If Baker Mayfield's going to the Hall of Fame, I mean, we're driving him to Canton, Jake. I'm all for it. But I'm just saying, the guy's small. I mean, this is not deep dive into the breakdown or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? The guy is small. You know what I'm saying? So, because Tyrod's not that much bigger. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the offense is working around those guys. They're moving the ball fast. I think this is going to be a big test against the Bills defense. Those guys are going to be ready to hit somebody, and they're a good defense. So we're going to see what they're made of, even their second unit guys. Remember last year how they had the joint practice and how that went over. The Bills just come to play. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm excited for this game just on that level. I got to see something more from our pass rush, Myles Garrett. I'm excited about the Jonathan Hankins possibility. But Myles Garrett's got to do more than just beat up on the offensive line at training camp on the Browns. He's got to do something against these guys and these preseason guys.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, the guy was number one overall pick, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, so back-to-back, yeah. So the guy was the number one overall pick, and if you're going to spend that kind of money on him, you know, he's got the talent, and the knock on him was, does he have the work ethic and does he love the game and all that sort of stuff? And, well, we need to find that out this year. The injuries bit him last year. I need the guy to stay healthy, and he's also got to at least end up with 10 to 15 sacks in that range and continue to progress and just stay healthy is the other point on that. Overall, though, I think this defense is going to be pretty damn good and exciting to watch the way Greg Williams blitzes and calls plays. Now that you've got a cornerback that you can leave alone and depth at cornerback, and they're even talking about bringing in Skandrick, who's, you know, really hasn't played. I mean, he's up there in age. He's kind of off the scrap heap, but he's a guy that you can bring into the locker room that's a veteran that's going to be a good presence on the Denzel Ward and on Randall and Peppers, and that's another guy that's got this is Peppers' year to either put up or shut up, and that's one guy that I'll be really interested in seeing how they use. He's got to adjust to what Greg Williams wants him to do, and he can't think that Greg Williams is going to adjust to what he wants to do.
Yeah, I just think Orlando Skandrick, he's 31, but I think he could, like you said, a veteran presence, but just give depth. I mean, like, you know, somebody's going to get banged up or get a stinger or something like that. And then you just need, yeah, I mean, we need somebody out there that's done it before. I don't think this guy's going to, I mean, it's better than Pac-Man Jones. I think we can, I mean, Adam Jones, excuse me, you know what I'm saying, which they were flirting with that idea last week, so.
For sure. I mean, Pac-Man Jones is, I mean, he's matured a lot, but he still has a lot of things going on. And he got into a fight in the airport a few weeks ago, and you just don't want to bring that stuff into this locker room at this point. So Skandrick's definitely the better choice.
I'm very excited that John Dorsey will be aggressive, though. You see that on Hard Knocks. The guy's always, we know he's trading away. And I mean, I'm going to take a victory lap on this one. I knew this Corey Coleman guy was a bust. You know what I'm saying? And people calling him the next
You did team. Have that one peg. Yep.
You know, yeah, like, I mean, and I'm not, you know, I don't, I mean, maybe the change of scenery will do him good, but like clearly
no,
just
won't.
The clip that we've seen, the guy just can't focus when he's out there. And also my biggest knock on him too was the times that he does try to make a play and whatnot, he's a little reckless with his body, ends up getting hurt. So it's a catch 22 with him. But at least that's not our problem anymore.
What's the part of this team that gives you the most concern right now?
I think that I mean I was woeful against that running game, man. That really concerned me. I mean, Nick Chubb.
Do you blame it more on the running backs or more on the offensive line?
I blame it on the fact that, like, I want to see Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson, guys that have a little bit more. Like, I cannot tell because Nick Chubb is coming straight from. You know what I mean? He's a rookie, so I can't really tell with him out there.
I was gonna say, what's your expectation for this second game as far as starters playing time? With you know, talking about Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson and Tyrod Taylor, you think they get a full quarter?
I think they go the full first quarter to get Lazar going and get some you know, get a rhythm going, because they had a nice rhythm going and then they pulled them out. Like Tyrod looked good last week, but let's see him play a little bit longer. 5 for 5. I mean, the guy couldn't play any more perfect, but you know, let's see that play out over time when maybe a lineman gets tired and misses an assignment or something, like, you know what I mean? Like that's what happens in these games. And that one mental mistake, you know, always does the Browns in because it kills the momentum.
I agree. I think there'll be about, you know, a quarter of play, and it'll be interesting if how much Drew Stanton gets to play at this point versus Baker. You know, they're going to continue to want to see Baker more and more. And I guess the next logical question would be is, as long as Tyrod Taylor and Drew Stanton are both healthy all season, does Baker Mayfield play as a starter in any games?
If you listen to the Really Big Show and some of these guys who just want to drum up, get people revved up, Browns fans revved up with the old fashioned quarterback controversy. Once again, man, can at least Tyrod
Taylor love it.
Week one? Can at least he start week one? You know what I mean? That's my whole thing.
They're trying to run him out of there before week one.
I mean, they want this guy starting against the Bills Friday night. I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, you just, but I mean, the Browns are doing it on their own. I mean, Baker still is getting no work with the first team. So the one thing Baker has done, he's elevated the play of these other receivers. Hollywood Higgins, whoever he's working
Holy
with.
Holy cow, is he good.
Yeah, I mean, again, we talked about Callaway as well. I mean, I like that Callaway. The longer the game went on, the better he looked. Like, he looked like crap that first half. But the better, the longer the game went on, and the more he was out there running. So, and he was giving effort. So I dislike that. The other thing that gives, we talk about Callaway. How did you feel about the Callaway punishment of him playing every snap?
There's two ways of looking at it. You know, I mean, it doesn't do you any good to keep him on the bench all game and not be able to get a look at him, you know, get him on tape and see him up against other professionals. But at the same time, he kind of benefits as well because he gets extra time on the field to make plays and get more tape out there. So it's kind of a catch 22. I would have probably preferred that they played him, you know, 10 to 15 plays and made some sort of punishment during camp a little bit more prevalent, you know, like, I don't know, extra wind sprints or whatever the hell they do to punish players during training camp.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to see him carrying, like, bringing in donuts or carrying all the equipment or something. You know what I mean? That old type of.
Yeah, or fine his ass.
Yeah, there you go. So, let's just say this, man. It's exciting. We got a lot of positive things to focus on, and the Browns look like they actually going to be winning some games. And, oh, Jake, there's going to be free beer in Cleveland. I don't know if you saw the story. Bud Light's trying to do their part.
I did see that. Yeah. That's an interesting one because I heard, like, there's four of those fridges at least, and what the numbers are, I think it's each one holds like 200, and there's 20 of them around town, and they can't disclose the locations because of like state laws and.
Oh, there's one at Barley House. Like that. Barley House was pumping it this morning, so there's one at Barley.
Yeah, okay. So, and there's like four in Cleveland Brown Stadium, and they're going to open it whether you win on the road or at home. So I don't know how that works. People are going to be climbing up the fences to go get their beer at Cleveland Brown Stadium. But yeah, I guess it's kind of cool, you know. Everybody can toast a Bud Light once we finally get our second win of the last 33.
Well, let's hope for that. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the game Friday night. And I will say this, Jake, I was wrong about something. I'm actually enjoying this Hard Knocks.
Trevor Bauer?
Good for the team, but I'm enjoying it. So I can't, you know what I mean? I can't hate on it like the way that I said I wanted no part of this for the Browns. But, I mean, I'm actually enjoying it.
You still want no part of Dez Bryant?
The problem with it is they need another receiver. I don't know if it's Dez Bryant. I think there might be a better option out there, but that might not materialize to week three or four with the way the cuts now come at the end. But I don't know where we are with Josh Gordon. If I know Josh Gordon is walking through that door, then yeah, I want no part of Dez Bryant. Like we just don't need him. Out the uncertainty of Josh Gordon, it leads me to be tempted to walk that crazy line with Mr. X.
It's tough because you know, we've laid out before what the issues are, and he's very demanding of his quarterbacks, and he's a definite diva, and you know, there's only one ball that can go around, and if you're going to have Duke Johnson as a big part of your offense, and Jarvis Landry is a big part of your offense, and Josh Gordon is a big part of your offense, and then still try to run the ball with Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb, it's like, what are you going to do with Dez Bryant at that point? He's going to be basically a deep threat that's going to be a malcontent, you know, for most of the season. I just don't want a redo of Dwayne Bowe. And I just feel like there's other teams where he fits a lot better with the circumstances and where he's at in his career. I mean, you look at Green Bay as the number one in my mind. I know they brought in Jimmy Graham, but they still have a definite need to replace Jordy Nelson in my mind, and that would make a lot of sense. And like you said, I know it comes late at times, but there's going to be better options for us after some cuts. I really believe that. And someone that, you know, I hate to say more professional, but someone that can contribute to this team even more so off the field maybe at times than on the field. And I don't think Dez Bryant brings that dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm Mitchell was to be rumored out there, I think, a week ago because he was injured last year with the Patriots. That was somebody that they looked at. I'll tell you this, too. You just don't want to stunt the growth of, like, the young guys. And we saw David Njoku. We got to mention him, and we could close out the podcast with that, Jake. I mean, actually catching the ball and making plays. It was amazing.
Man, I mean, if he can figure out how to hold on to the football, he's damn near unguardable with his size and speed and his talent set. It could be a lot of fun this year for this team. You know, the win total, I think, is six or six and a half for us right now. No, was it four and a half? I have to look.
It was five and a half for a long time. It was five and a half for a long time.
Okay. So whatever it is, I mean, it's not more than six. And I think this team is capable of being at least keeping us entertained through the month of December. Let's put it that way for once. Yeah. I think they're more capable. Oh. Indeed, you're looking at a league that, you know, wants parity. They want every team to be 8-8. And you almost have to try harder to do what we've done than it would be to just finish 8-8 once every once in a while. So to me, the odds of or the law of averages, I mean, maybe we're the Rams. You know, the Rams were a 3-win team, I think, before they made the playoffs. It's just kind of in the cards in the way of the NFL set.
Well, here's hoping to that. And go ahead and drop some more knowledge on us. You had your debut show, Sleepers, Keepers, and Lines. We tried to get it out there with the fake Jake Sofranco tweet. I mean, the fake Jake Sofranco Twitter account and the real Jake Sofranco Twitter account. So, you know,
that's right.
Go ahead and tell people what they can expect.
There's an imposter out there, and I demand you delete your Twitter account right now so there is no more confusion. No, it was a lot of fun. You know, it's the first show and hadn't been on for a while. So it was good. We had a lot of fun. Had Mike Young on from CG Technologies in Las Vegas. He's going to be on again this week, which will be kind of a reoccurring thing. We'll get the Vegas report from Mike each week for the gambling end. And we'll have some guests as well for the fantasy football side. Mike will actually be up in Watkins Glen at a Phish concert, and we're going to ask some hippies who they're going to take first overall. So that'll be kind of fun as well. Fredo will be there producing this week, and we're just going to talk about some fantasy football and the players that you need to know and want to stay away
from. All
right,
where can people find that at, Jake?
Oh, you check that out at EBSN Online. I'm glad you asked, Steve. EBSN Online, all our social media platforms, at EBSN Online, Facebook Live, Twitter, and you can also check it out and give us a follow over at Sleep Keep Lines on Twitter and at Sleepers Keepers and Lines on Facebook. So check it out Thursdays 2 to 3. It'll be a lot of fun, and Fred was 1-0 this week, so he made you some money.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's Browns preview. You know, you can always follow us on Twitter at With an Ohio Bias. Give us a like on Facebook. You can find this podcast in the Google Play Store where podcasts are found. Of course, on iTunes. Take a second, write us a review. It helps us out, and it motivates us as well, just like we get motivated by seeing the good stuff on Hard Knocks from the Browns. Jake, I think this is going to be a pretty good Friday night, win or lose for the Browns, because I just think they're going in the right direction, and all I can say is bless them.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, D, and we've been skeptical in years past, and is very recently as well. So I'm with you, man. I think this is going to be a fun season. It's so important to get off to a decent start, get that bugaboo or that monkey off your back as quickly as possible, and then get down to the business of shocking the world.
Well, I'm back on the hype train. So let's go, Browns. As always, go, Browns.